Ladies and gentlemen, pay attention. This is your boy, the coach from the WWE. I would like to welcome you to the very first wrestling podcast in the world to take you on a weekly deep dive in the classic matches along with legends of the squared circle. Enjoy the discussion. Enjoy the back and forth. There's so much to get into. Ladies and gentlemen, this is The Payoff.
Dun, 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 dun. Dude, Jeff, you and I already talked about this, but you seem to not be happy with Hulk Hogan's attire he's wearing.
Oh boy, I'm not gonna lie. This is the first when we pulled this up. My reaction was, "What the hell is that man wearing?" Like, and so this is gonna be exciting though.
Good man, I'm pumped for this. Well, I'm pumped to talk about this feud because, admittedly, you know, I mean, look, I know a decent amount about it, but there's probably some intricacies to it. And, you know, man, Roddy Piper for me, I just, you know, he's a little before my time. So there's, you know, that we'll talk more about the AE documentary and some of the other stuff out there about him. But again, it's just, this was just really before my fandom started, you know, WrestleMania 3, 4, 5, and so on. So I'm excited though.
Yeah.
What about you?
It's really weird because, like, as long as we've been doing this show too, it speaks to like how much, like, you know, just how much ground we still have to cover. It's our first Piper match. Like,
really?
And so, yeah. And so we have a couple others. We've actually got the WrestleMania 8 Bret Hart and Roddy Piper on our list for future. And then we have the WrestleMania match, which we will discuss on this one as well too, and kind of what happened there. But yeah, like you said, this was one that when I was just going through it, it had been a while since we had done a match from this time frame too. So I kind of really wanted us to get back into that a little bit. I know we like that kind of 90s as well too. And so, and we had strayed a little bit. I said, we had done some WCW recently a lot. We do really the last few weeks. This is our first, WWE match in a month. We've done Halloween Havoc, ECW, and then Ring of Honor. And so we're bringing you, especially with Survivor Series around the corner at this point, we got this, and then we're getting right into some Survivor Series. And so, yeah, I think so. Time to get back to this, but then also, like, it's just time to talk about this. Like, plain and simple, this one just made sense. We're on an anniversary kind of at this point too. It's been just a little bit, and so yeah. So it's been a week ago previously, back in 1985, and so yeah. And again, as much as Piper is liked and kind of had the career he had, for us to not talk about him, it's time.
Quick question for you. So if you are doing some Christmas shopping for a guy in your life, a friend, a brother, you're going to a White Elephant, you're getting coworker something, whatever it might be, right? So for the dudes in your life, what would be the best Christmas, Hanukkah gift, Kwanzaa gift you could possibly give to a guy this season?
Right now, like, for me, like, I won't spoil the other thing I got for my brother. But again, if he listens, it's going to spoil this part of it for him, that the one thing that I got, again, for my brother, and I would, you know, any guy out there, any woman out there, like, you know, looking for, you know, something for their guy, the gift that they should be getting is absolutely from manscaped.com. They should be looking at all of their lines of products and using our codes, because they are absolutely worth it. We do not hesitate to endorse them. Multiple packages, we want multiple packages to make your package look good. And plain and simple, the Lawnmower 4.0, the Weed Whacker, no matter what you're using, it's absolutely worth all of it. And we're going to help you out a little bit, especially with this holiday season. Get it now. It won't take long to get to you, so you can have it and tuck it away. But manscaped.com, using our promo code PAYOFF20, PAYOFF20, the numbers, you'll get free shipping and 20% off. It's absolutely worth it. Tom and I would not steer you in the wrong direction. We appreciate all of our fans kind of sending us not the screenshot of their results, but the screenshot of their order. And so, and them getting it and using it, because it's absolutely worth it. Everything in their store, check it out using our promo code payoff 20 for free shipping and 20% off. You know, nobody's going to be disappointed. That's for sure. You know, it's absolutely worth it.
Well, and the other thing too, is I feel like, look, we all, you know, with Amazon and stuff, I mean, we all just buy shit all the time. So it's like, you know, if you're giving someone a gift, to me, I want to give them something they're actually going to use. And it's like, that's one of those things where you buy someone some Manscaped stuff, that shit might sit in their bathroom drawer for the next 10 years and be used every 10 days. Like, how cool is that? That's actually like a gift that people are like, I use it. I look at it every day. I use it every, you know, week or two. Like, it's an awesome gift. And you know they last forever. So anyways, I'm buying a bunch of them around the holidays. I know you are too. And yep. If you're looking for stuff, again, that'll actually be used and be appreciated, it's a great gift. So, all right, Jeff, let's get into the build.
Oh, it's time for the build.
All right, so this is a really interesting show. It's called the Wrestling Classic. Yep. It's the second pay-per-view ever produced by Vince, and it's a one-off event. It's got this huge 16-man tournament. So this is basically King of the Ring before King of the Ring, but they have all these guys wrestle on this show, so there's nothing prior. And then in the midst of it, they put this Hulk Hogan, Roddy Piper match, you know, towards the end of it. This tournament, I'll go through some of the names, but it ends with the Junkyard Dog defeating Randy Savage. And interestingly enough, they gave out a Rolls Royce. So there's 250,000 fans that enter a contest for a Rolls Royce. Yep. And they gave one out. Like, that's pretty interesting. So really, really interesting show. The names in this tournament: Adrian Adonis, Corporate Kirshner, Dynamite Kid, Nikolai Volkoff, Randy Savage, Ivan Putski, Ricky Steamboat, Davey Boy Smith, Junkyard Dog, Iron Sheik, Moondog Spot, Terry Funk, Tito Santana, The Magnificent Morocco, Paul Orndorff, Bob Orton. Now, how's that for a tournament?
Like, the name, like, it's almost crazy, some of those names on there. Yep.
And then the matches, some of them didn't even really get started. 9 minutes, 27 seconds, 3, 2, 2, 3, 4, 6, 6, 4, 45 seconds.
17. Yep.
Crazy.
Crazy. Yeah.
So that's it, man. What a wild show, but it's like King of the Ring before King of the Ring. We'll talk yep. more about tournaments during the show, but that's the story, man. In terms of star ratings, the highest rated match on this show was the one we're covering, and the rest of them, yeah, kind of 3 stars, 2 stars. I mean, yeah, some, it seemed like there was some decently well-received matches on the show. So I know this is one of probably the better feuds of this era, and arguably the best of this time frame. But storyline standpoint, how do we get to this particular match in the feud?
Yeah, this was interesting because, like you said, part of this is we need to put ourselves, and I've been a while since I've said this, but we need to put ourselves in kind of the time frame of when this was happening in 1984, 1985, because you really have to understand and remember, like, there was no WrestleMania at this point. You know, there was not the monthly pay-per-views or anything like that. Like, the landscape was just very different at this point. And so, and then also just wrestling being as mainstream as it was, even that was a little unusual. Like, how we're going to talk about that a little bit, about how it was like part of what part of culture it was a part of, but just very odd, odd in the sense that, like, how we know it today, it would just, you know, how we're going to describe this, we wouldn't think that this would be how it was. And so, yeah, really the biggest feud of this show, like we said, outside of the tournament, because that was what primarily made up the card on this one, was the feud between Hulk Hogan and Roddy Piper, feuding over the WWF at the time, WWF WWE Championship. And so We'll go back a little bit here. Hogan had actually beaten the Iron Sheik. It was January 23rd, 1984 for the title. This match doesn't take place until November 1985. So he was holding onto it for the better part of 2 years, almost just a little bit shy, about 20, 21 months when we were dealing with this. And so you got to remember that at the time, and so 1985, Piper was pretty much the top heel of WWF at this point. And so part of this was him speaking out at what was called the really the rock and wrestling connection. Of there was a period in the 80s and really this part going into the 90s as well too, where a lot of wrestling's, like, and this is just the history of wrestling, a lot of wrestling success was also tied to the music industry as well too. And I say the music industry of like MTV and things like that. And so MTV at the same time was also like, you know, in its infancy as well too. Like it was not kind of what we, you know, what we know today of all these crappy shows. Like MTV debuted.
Is MTV still around?
MTV is still around, but 1981, August 1st was the first time that they were on the air. And so very much tied though to what was happening with that. And so the connection was, you know, from what was kind of there in the cross promotion was you had who at the time was a manager, Captain Lou Albino, and Cyndi Lauper. And so as we all know, like, you know, very famous singer still out there performing, for me, best known for the theme song to the Goonies, one of the classic movies of all time. And so you know,
being a huge Goonies mark as well. I don't know if you and I have ever talked about that.
We have not actually. I would actually love to go to the house out in Oregon as well too. I know there was a campaign to save it as well too. And so just like the Goonies, people had to donate to save the house. And so it is still there. And so you can go check that out and things like that, which is always good. The rock formation is still there as well too. And so yes, huge Goonies fan. But having that, and so actually, so MTV being a part of this, you know, at the time, you had there was actually they had like live wrestling on the programs as well too, or on the network as well, and then also there was the first live women's professional wrestling match and really on cable television for a part of this. And so you had Cyndi Lauper, who was going with Wendi Richter, and then you had Lou Albino going with the Fabulous Moolah, and them having a match. Actually, that was July 1984, and so you know, them kind of having that connection and with the music industry. But then you also, as we get kind of closer to this match as well, too, really just prior to this, and I can't, I'm almost embarrassed that I forgot about this until I was doing my research on this one. But also, you had the animated series, of course, Hulk Hogan's Rockin' Wrestling. And so running for the better part of 2 years after debuting. So you had Hogan really playing up the, you know, the face on this of, you know, just, you know, being the good guy doing that. And so really, and this was a point where, again, Hulk Hogan was at the absolute just pinnacle of his mountain in regards to popularity, whether he's wearing yellow or white trunks, we'll get into that, but like, you know, just huge at this point. And so you actually had these guys though, having a match. It would have been early 1985. It was the war to settle the score. It was actually on MTV. It was for Hogan's title, and Hogan actually retained, through, disqualification. I was really weird because most of the matches on this were dark matches. And so they had like a, you know, a whole really card before this. And so for my count, it was 11 matches, and the Hogan match coming in at 8 minutes, about 9 minutes, was the only one that was actually on TV. And so nothing crazy or anything like this, you know, some different names on here, stuff like this, you know, Paul Orndorff beating Tony Atlas, Jimmy Snuka beating Bob Orton, nothing crazy, but you know, they put on a show for some people before we got to this Hogan Piper match in 1984. So, or excuse me, February 1985, the war to settle the score. So, you know, so just really interesting how that kind of played out and things like that. So this though led to the, you know, formation really of WrestleMania at this point. And so it marketed, and we've all heard the stories and we still hear it, like, you know, marketed as the quote Super Bowl of wrestling. And at the time, like I say, is the the word I saw here was the super card. The super card wasn't, you know, anything crazy or new, because NWA had been doing Starrcade for quite a while. And so that was, you know, not uncommon. Vince Sr. as well too had been marketing shows, like big shows in like Shea Stadium and, you know, like arenas and stuff, venues like that. And it was closed circuit. So not everybody was able to see it, but you had WrestleMania the one though, drawing the interest it did, because not only did you have, again, it was really perfect timing. Because you had WrestleMania 1 coming in when you've got the connection between wrestling, the music industry, like Hulk Hogan's a part of these storylines. You've got Mr. T as well, too. And so that was a big part of that WrestleMania 1. And we always, sometimes we forget that well, we're not always a big fan of the celebrities being on the show, like nowadays, like the music artists and things like that. Like, I do think we have to remember, like, that for a very long time, like that was in its inception, that is part of why we have WrestleMania, is because it was the celebrities, it was the music performances and things like that. And so really got to remember just the origin of this type of stuff and the originality that they were coming up with at the time, because that's how they got butts in seats. That's how they got people to watch. Like, this was Mr. T when, you know, Mr. T was at the height of his popularity as well too. And so Cyndi Lauper as well too, like synonymous with the 80s and kind of having that. So
that's why the years that they do no celebrity stuff, I don't get it. I mean, yeah. There is no WrestleMania without the celebrities. You're exactly right.
It's okay. Weird to say that, but and it's a hot take, but it's not wrong.
WrestleMania 2, you had all the NFL players. You had Mr. T involved. WrestleMania 3, they had Aretha Franklin, and you had Bob Uecker. And, you know, 4 and 5, you were at Trump Plaza, and then you had celebrities running around there. And you look at Tyson, and you look at, Pam Anderson and LT and Jenny McCarthy. And, I mean, I can go through the list. But those are all examples of celebrities that were used really well and made it feel like a big event. But then some years, oh, no, we don't. I mean, like Bad Bunny was awesome this year. And I don't know who the hell he is, but I enjoyed it. So mix it in. It doesn't ruin your main event. It just adds another element. And, you know, you can do it in a way. I mean, they had Shaq on AEW. It was awesome. Like, it just at Mayweather against Big Show. It's just a fun thing to add to. I don't know why they don't do it more often. I don't like every time they do it, almost every time, it's really good. Every once in a while, you have a Jon Stewart hitting, you know, a guy with a steel chair. But for the most part, it makes sense. It's a lot of fun. It adds another element. And there are times where it's an absolute home run, like a Mike Tyson, or, you know, like some of the rock and wrestling stuff. But I am a huge fan of mixing it in. I think it adds such a great element.
Well, and you got to remember too, like, since really I'm looking like kind of back through here, like 2006, maybe, like there's a celebrity wing of the Hall of Fame for a reason. And so we got to remember that too, is we're, you know, like, so that's such a big part of, like, so again, it's this match is Hogan and Piper, but like we have to set the stage for why this, you know, is the way it is and kind of get to the, you know, do the build on this way, because there was a lot happening outside of wrestling that was incorporating wrestling. And so that was why part of this, you know, so Mr. T and Cyndi Lauper, and, you know, Mr. T, I say for our younger listeners or even the older listeners, but the A-Team was of course his big show at the time, which that running from 1983 to 1987. And so this for 1985, like Mr. T was huge at this point. And so he still, you know, still is around, you know, it's still his catchphrases and things like that. So it's all really important. And so of course, all of this leading, though, it was really the main event of the first ever WrestleMania, which is March 31st, 1985, where you had Hogan and his corner was Mr. T defeating Roddy Piper and Paul Orndorff. And so Hogan really, though, feuding for the rest of the year with these guys, DQs, bunch of different matches, things like that, like just, you know, really how it played out over, you know, and leading up into this title match. And so you know, the big part of this show, though, was the tournament taking place. Now, Tom alluded to King of the Ring. We'll actually talk about that in the aftermath, because this was really the birth of King of the Ring in a lot of ways. We didn't know it at the time, or, you know, people didn't know it at the time. But now, looking back at it, we know that that was the case. And so really just the industry as a whole was, you know, booming. And even though it was WrestleMania one that, you know, sometimes panned and things like that because of what it was, like, it set the stage for everything to come. And so we get this match, though, after really just, you know, having these guys having the match at WrestleMania, like, you know, just continuing to feud for as long as they have, like, still involving the celebrities as well, too, because it was working. And so that's how we get this. And so, yeah, Wrestle Classic. Let's give out a car. I'm ready.
Hour 39 mark of the Wrestling Classic. It's on Peacock. It's on the network. Again, 1 hour 39 mark of the Wrestling Classic. Jeff, are you ready?
Let's do it.
All right. It's time for the payoff.
Oh, it's time for the payoff.
Fans losing their minds.
Dude, I got so much to talk about during this match.
Well, you got 8 minutes, so you better make it quick.
I know. We may have to go a few minutes longer. So Hogan in the all white, kind of odd. I'm not a fan, but and he had the white American made shirt when he came out. So, man, hot start. So, like, Hogan just, like, looks like a brawler, and then Piper. So he's brawling. They're on the outside of the ring. This is, like, Jeff, the last thing I was expecting to see with my eyes. Oh my God. So Piper just got thrown over the guardrail. They've got kind of like a blue guardrail set up. Really interesting look. It looks like it's attached to the ground. So it looks like that's part of the arena. Now Hogan's gone back in the ring. They're both just tearing into each other.
Everybody's on their feet.
Yep. They're moving at literally double the pace I would have expected. I'm going to talk really fast because I got a lot to cover, and this match is moving fast, and I want to talk about the match as well. Here's a fantasy booking thing. When Piper came into WCW in 96, I mean, the Hogan feud was pretty cool, and I really actually remember enjoying it. But let me tell you something. Why wouldn't you have made Piper the fourth man of the NWO? He was WWF through and through. He was a great heel. Can you imagine, instead of Big Show, it being Hogan, Nash, Hall, and freaking Roddy Piper? And then you bring in DiBiase, and then you bring in X-Pac. And I mean, they could have made a badass NWO. I wish the NWO only would have ever been ex Vince guys. And you could have easily done that, right? I would have never had anyone jump, or I would have waited a long time to do it. I'm saying jump from like the WCW side. I think you could have gotten away with it. And there's so many things you could have done too. You could have always moved Flair over, because he used to be with Vince, and he could have, you know, played that angle off. But you start thinking of all those guys. I don't know. What do you think of that?
Interesting take there. I do want to point out, is just before, watch how springy the mat is, for starters. Yeah. But then also, I like it to kind of approach it that way. Like, I've never heard anybody actually say that, even as long as you and I have talked wrestling, because that's just,
I just thought of it.
Of, like, you know, putting him that way. And like you said, like those through and through WWE guys, like, it really would have been insane. Like, and then you have all this backstory too with these guys of, you know, then, you know, breaking up and things like that, you know, eventually. And then, you know, you could, you know, who knows what it would have been like at the time, but getting a Piper Hogan match as well too. Like,
yeah. And he came in 96, and then you put Savage in there.
Yep.
Shit. Yeah. Imagine, and I don't think Warrior would ever done it, but imagine Warrior coming in black and white.
But it's a thought. Yep.
I know. What was Roddy Piper's first wrestling name?
Oh, I don't know. Good trivia today.
The Masked Canadian.
Ooh, intimidating.
Very, very. These guys are like just wow.
Really? Ooh, hello. Hogan.
So Piper jumps off the top rope and Hogan catches him in a bear hug. That's a really good spot.
I want to talk to you. So you can see in the crowd, there's some yellow shirts. You got some bandanas on some kids.
Yeah, these guys are dressed in 1986 like I just dressed to go to SummerSlam.
And they are popping hard for everything that Hogan does. And so there you go. Piper going for the cover. Nope. Just interesting. Like,
listening to the commentary.
Sounds like Jesse and Gorilla.
I was going to say, it's like Jesse and Gorilla, I would guess. Yeah. Yep. At this time frame. Yep. That sounds about right. And so.
Oh, remember that clip I showed you of Hogan wrestling in Japan and like looking like Daniel Bryan?
I believe I have that on our list. So
God, that was the most ridiculous thing ever. We have to watch that match. Hey, so this, the whole premise of this show was a tournament, right? Like King of the Ring, Crown of the Queen or Queen Crown or whatever. Okay, so my question to you is this. If you're trying to get a bunch of people onto a show or whatever, do you prefer a tournament or do you prefer just doing like an 8-man Money in the Bank match?
I think a tournament gives you, I think there's reason for both, but if I had to pick myself, like give me a tournament over multiple weeks. That's why I've been excited for King of the Ring or Queen's Crown as well too. Thank God they're finally catching up with those times as well too. But yeah, it's one of those where I think that it gives it a little bit more room to breathe for me. Like, because after you have one 8-man match and then it's over and you might remember a spot or two, but like you could actually develop again, this is developing some stars. You could actually give somebody some star power here over a couple of weeks, get us invested. Hulk's starting to Hulk up. You know, make me believe that you actually like Ricochet, you know, make me believe, which they don't. And so, you know, make me believe
to me, Ricochet is just criminally underrated. I just think,
Coming outside.
Yep. No, on the outside of the floor, no mats down there.
No mats. Yeah. I just noticed that myself. No mats on the outside.
Dude, Ricochet to me, I mean, I love the look. I love watching him wrestle. I love him in the ring. Oh, his promo sucks. Okay. Guess what? Give him a fucking manager.
Yep.
How hard is it? Or turn him heel and don't make him talk. I don't know. Like, figure something out. So Hogan hulking up on the outside of the ring. Piper looks terrified.
Fans all on their feet watching it happen too. Yep. Pulling the trunks of Piper. Yep.
Apron there.
This is way more physical than I think I would have expected.
It's like really, really stiff.
Yeah, but if I had to pick the tournament,
absolutely. Oh, he just kicked him hard.
Whoa, yeah. He was stiff as hell. Piper selling it though. Yep. This is some of the most wrestling we've seen from Hogan ever on this show.
Uh-oh, ref bump.
Oh, big ref bump. Yep. That was not somewhat inverted. Oh, we got Piper with steel chair now, climbing back in the ring. The ref, though, no selling almost, up very quickly here. Oh, chair shot to Hogan. Everybody on their feet. Yep.
Why wouldn't they just recruit bigger, stronger refs that would be able to get up faster?
I could take that bump. Here you go. Hogan now blocking the chair as Piper tried to bring it down on his neck. Oh boy. Yep. Here we go. That was not a great kick there, but again, oh, Hogan hitting Piper with the chair now. This is a sleeper hold with the chair still in his hands. The referee,
I've never seen this before.
That's interesting. He's not really using the chair to choke him out. Throws it down now. Okay. Trying to put Piper to sleep. Yep. But who's that guy? Uh-oh.
Cowboy Bob Orton is interfering. Yep.
I said, who's that guy to the ringside official that grabbed the chair? You don't see that nowadays either. I knew it was Cowboy Bob, but come on. Like, why? We need some more officials ringside that are willing to help out the wrestlers. Yep.
So as we're watching some of the post-match shenanigans, dude, that was a really fun match, by the way. I know it
really was. Yeah.
Way better than I expected. Okay. And then, Mr. Wonderful coming in to help Hulk Hogan?
Paul Orndorff. Yep.
Wow. Guess he's
with the chair of himself. Yep. Swinging away. You know, every single person in that arena is on their feet.
Yeah. Oh, big time.
And they're leaving through the crowd. Where is the entrance ramp?
So pardon my question. I got to wonder, I would assume this is before Orndorff turned heel and had his run with Hogan. So I guess he's just a good guy helping out at this point. Okay.
That's crazy. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Hogan's sure. Gonna win by DQ. Still your champion.
Yep, by DQ.
This is a short match. Before we get
to
math, let me ask you this. And I have a thought on this because I was thinking about it the other day. But here's what I was thinking. I'm thinking, if you're Vince McMahon, what is the biggest matchup that you realistically could get in the ring as your main event for WrestleMania?
This upcoming WrestleMania?
Yes. This upcoming WrestleMania, realistically. So they have to be alive. They have to still be able to wrestle. I'm talking the biggest possible, grandest match you could possibly pull off. What would it be and why? And then I'm going to give my... And how about this? I'll give my answer first and give you a minute to think.
I just gave mine. I have an answer. Go ahead. Let's hear it. It's Rock and Roman. Okay. Like, I don't see... Like, that's it.
Okay.
And my why is because, like, Roman, if you're going to say that Roman's the guy, okay, that's what we're doing. But I think The Rock, like, in regards to star power, because sadly, I don't know, like, well, I'd love to say like Roman AJ, like, I don't know if that is what the fans, I mean, I'd want to see that. I don't think that would produce a good match. I thought we had something with Finn Roman, but prove me wrong there. And so, you know, I think that if you're going for pure star power and what we just talked about with like the celebrity and all this other stuff, like, it makes the most sense to me.
I had that same thought.
Okay. Yep.
But I had a better thought. I think the biggest match that you could do is Rock.
Mm.
Because I think ESPN and the tabloids and mainstream media and casual fans and lapsed fans, I think that's the biggest thing you could do. Mm. And I just think that would be off the charts if you could pull that off. Now, I'm not saying they do that. Rock Reigns is probably the way to go, and that's perfectly fine. And it, you know, creates a little bit of awareness about Roman Reigns for those that don't watch anymore. But man, you talk about a match where it's like, tell your buddies that haven't watched wrestling in, you know, 10 years, hey, main event of WrestleMania, it's the fucking Rock versus Brock Lesnar. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Yeah. And to put those, and that's too, you got to wonder, like, sadly, you have to think of who are the names from past. Like, if Stone Cold could still go, do you put Stone Cold out there with somebody? Like, you know, if you, you know, is it The Rock? Is it John Cena? Like, who do you, what puts butts back in the seat? Because unfortunately, and I think this is just the harsh reality, is they don't have the star power. They don't have the star power right now to put two of their biggest people out. I say male superstars. I think they could almost do it with the women, but that's just like, people are going to shit all over that because they don't like that and they don't want that. And so, but I think you could do it feasibly with the women, because the men, I don't think you can. I think you have about three or four people that could legitimately main event like a two-night WrestleMania on the women's side. So for everybody at home, Tom, I just blew Tom's mind. He's like, he's shaking his head. I'm seeing him like, because he's thinking about it. Because I would say, like, right now, like, Charlotte, Becky, Bianca, and, you know, maybe Sasha too. I'd put her fourth on that list. Like, it's the four horsewomen. Like, Bailey's, you know, about to, you know, got to be back eventually here as well too. So, like, you know, you start giving us some horsewomen stuff, and you got a match there. Like, you know, that four way is still could eventually happen, but I think on the men's side, like, I don't know. And we're starting to see it. Crown Jewel, we're going to get some of that. Like, you know, we're going to get the three ways, like, you know, Charlotte, you know, on SmackDown now, who knows? Yeah.
All right, let's get to the aftermath.
Ho! It's time for the aftermath.
All right, what'd you think?
Surprisingly better than I would have thought. Like, again, proving that we don't watch these ahead of times other than maybe read the reviews, and you don't even always read the reviews, like, for just us to kind of, you know, have that. That match, I was incredibly and surprisingly shocked by how good that match was. You
couldn't believe it. Yeah. I couldn't believe how fast they moved. I couldn't believe how like fast paced and quick the match was. Really enjoyed it. I mean, I would have loved to have seen a 15-minute match with a clean finish, but it was, you know, for what it was pretty cool. That was, right. fun to watch.
I think the timing was actually just long enough. It was exactly what it should have been. It shouldn't have been any more than that. And so that was really good. I was happy with that. I think that, you know, just how it played out was fantastic. And so where did it go from here, though? Of course, it kind of some real life animosity, I think, played into what we got at WrestleMania 2 with Mr. T and Roddy Piper, with Mr. T having the boxing match with Roddy Piper, which we don't have to talk about. WWE's attempts at boxing are just, there shouldn't be a thing. And so having that as well too, but then you also had him, there was a Piper's Pit in the flower shop, if you remember, with Adrian Adonis, and kind of dealing with that as well too, which eventually led to the WrestleMania 3 match, with Adrian and Piper and the hair versus hair match as well too, is also
Piper
retirement match as well too. Piper ended up winning that one as well too, went on to be, you know, outside of the company at that point. So, you know, kind of interesting how that, interesting on that, where, you know, it's part of the show. So I say that was his matches, you know, at the next three WrestleManias versus the next three WrestleManias with Hulk Hogan. And so, you had him, you know, taking on, you know, just everybody at this point, cause he was Hulk Hogan, King Kong Bundy, having that match in the steel cage against him at WrestleMania 2. Taking on all kinds of people, but then of course, really, most of really that following year after that, and was the build and working toward WrestleMania 3, which, you know, Andre the Giant undefeated, Hogan, you know, having the belt as well too. And then that leading to their match at WrestleMania 3. And so, and interesting that kind of, I say, push coming from Piper's Pit as well too, as we know, with Hogan confronting Bobby the Brain Heenan on that, and getting the match after that. And so we all know how the WrestleMania 3 match played out, and having that. And so, yeah, it just, you know, I really feel like, as I was kind of, you know, looking at both, like just their trajectories were very different. Like, you know, with Hogan, you know, going on to be extremely successful for the next few years. And I almost feel like, I say Piper, best word I could use is underutilized. Like, you know, that's the best we can give him.
And I think they cover some of it in the documentary, but you know, he wanted to be an actor. He wanted to get out of wrestling, stuff like that.
That was so, a lot of it too.
I just don't think he was around and willing to work. And remember, you know, this was in the era where you either worked, you know, 300 matches a year or you didn't participate.
Yep. Yeah,
you know,
it was the Hogan show.
There weren't the attractions. There weren't the part-time people. There weren't the, you know, Edge can wrestle for five more years because he's doing 15 matches a year.
Yep. Yeah, these guys were out there working daily. Yeah, absolutely. So, so getting into the reviews on this one. So PWI actually, the best I could find on this one. So the WrestleMania match with Hogan, Mr. T, Piper, and Orndorff was the match of the year for PWI this year. The most popular wrestler of 1985, as you can assume, was Hulk Hogan. And the most hated wrestler of 1985, as you could assume, is Roddy Piper. And so hard to say that these guys weren't the top of the mountain in this year. Not a ton of reviews, just because at the time, there wasn't a whole lot being written. So not a whole lot out there, but the one thing I did see, like kind of one review, which occasionally will go, if I can't find much, I'll go to 411 Mania is the site I got going to as well too, was the crowd was very hot for that, making it better than it actually was. I expected the unclean finish because of the era. Liked a lot of things tonight. This was fine until the finish. They gave it 2.25 stars. I don't really care about that, but I'm gonna let you go first. Hopefully we don't have the same score.
I'll give it a 6.
Okay. All right.
And just because I was pleasantly surprised by the match and kind of the two of them like physically interacting, but you know, schmash finish 8 minutes in, you know, part of a bigger storyline, certainly not a blow off match or a main event or anything like that. But Piper really didn't take pinfalls, so I guess this is all you were going to get. But Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it. It was it absolutely go back and watch it. It's 8 minutes long. You'll really enjoy it. What about you?
Yeah, I'm going 7. It's almost interesting to me how they just kind of really exceeded what I had thought. And so, you know, I think so much of it is we've seen so many crappy matches of Hogan on this one that it's hard to, you know, he wrestles a certain style, but this was almost a little different than that. Like it was, you know, that kind of pre-WrestleMania and kind of, you know, really, I say his early days before any of that was happening. And so we got a match that was very different than we were accustomed to. And I was pleasantly surprised by that. It does remind me, like, you know, no matter how you feel about him nowadays, like the dude had some star power, like, and so it really impressive to kind of see what he did and what he accomplished, because that was a pretty good match. And so it's hard to not be a fan of that. So 6s and 7s, there's nothing wrong with that.
Good episode. Was fun, man. I'd never seen that match. I some of this stuff that's a little off the beaten path is really fun to watch.
Yeah, and this one definitely is that way. It's funny too. I've had it on just since then. It's always just weird seeing a young Vince McMahon, young Miss Elizabeth, stuff like that. It's always good to see that. So, but yeah, just kind of crazy. But yeah, very good stuff. So
good, fun episode, man. Good call on this one.
We're just gonna keep, and so we haven't even talked about it. I know this weekend too, Survivor Series, and so we got that going for us as well too. And so we got some Survivor Series matches over the next couple of weeks. We're gonna throw it back to some favorite ones of ours, and so we've got that to look forward to. But yeah, just again another good week of wrestling. We got Full Gear is behind us, and Survivor Series is in front of us.
All right. Well, as always, thank you for supporting the show. Go buy some Manscaped stuff for your family and friends and loved ones. And we'll see you next week. Payoff 20. We'll see you next week on an all new episode of The Payoff.